Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, as always, it was Monday, so Danny Kelly was here as we looked at every Premier League game, so we had a proper football chat.
Yeah, good stuff.
You told us what life was like at the game yesterday.
Yeah.
Did a bit of that.
That's true.
Listeners got involved with a few yarns.
Yes.
And we spoke to a guy that Sunday morning player who scored one of the goals of the season. We think he could be up at the FIFA Awards.
Keeps good value.
So, you'll be hearing from him as well.
And clips of the week, pewter.
Oh, yeah, clips of the week, pewter. Some old couple of old classics we've forgotten about in there. So, anyway, enjoy. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody, and good afternoon, Paul.
What a game you witnessed yesterday.
In my top five of all time.
Wow.
Live,
did
really.
You sit there and I've try seen and a lot work of football. Out? Did you work out the
well,
five?
Well, I thought about some of them. You know, I was going to say the best game I've ever seen, but I'm thinking there were other European nights when Chelsea turned it round and various games. The cup,
I would imagine Munich
against
the Champions League the final
Champions
would have been
League
the best.
Final. Yes and no. It wasn't a great game. That was a great occasion, a great moment, a great...
It had a lot of drama in it, didn't it?
Yeah, but it had a great part of my... Yeah, but we were under the cosh for a lot of that game, you know. It wasn't... It was a different sort of win, you know. And it was great to get it, and that was a different moment. That was a fantastic feeling for supporting the club. But for actual football, that was just sensational.
Yeah.
What a game of football that was. City are such a wonderful team to watch in the flesh. They really are. And we matched them. We gave them a good game.
Mm.
It was interesting on the way home.
You rattled them, definitely. Yeah.
On the way home, I was speaking to a couple of City supporters, young lads, and I said to them, your team is fantastic and everything. And they were talking and saying, well, we're not sorry Cole Palmer left, he said, because I don't know if this is true. This is what they told me. They said, we know his cousin, and Cole Palmer's a United fan.
That so was said, it, was it?
So they were quite happy he left.
Yeah.
But honestly, one of the papers this morning, the Mirror, says, City flops Palmer and Sterling come good. You think, flops? How is Sterling a flop at City? I think he won, triples and league titles and all sorts. I mean, honestly, that is... And Palmer won the Champions League and the Super Cup. I wouldn't describe them as flops.
Yeah.
Strange, you know.
But, very odd.
They are. I was thinking, though, that Arsenal fans must be thinking they should have bought Cole Palmer instead of Kai Havertz. He's such a better player. He really is. So, it was interesting. Talking of Arsenal, it was an interesting moment. I don't know if you caught it at the end of the Arsenal-Burnley game, but the Burnley header, defender headed the ball and it hit Michael Oliver. He wasn't looking at him
on
the ball.
Yeah.
He could have swallowed his pee.
Yeah,
I don't think they have peas.
They don't have peas in the whistles anymore.
No, but he was sort of blamed for the fun.
Swallowed his pea. Yeah. We should point out they used to have peas in whistles.
Yeah, I know, it's a bit of an old
in case there's
reference.
Anybody listening
wondering
what Andy's on
about.
We did
this thing, we'll talk more in detail of the game with Danny, but there was a moment in the game where we got a corner and my son said, oh, we never score from corners. And I started to tell my Anthony Barry anecdote, which was basically a Sunday Times piece about the Chelsea set play coach. I think during the time of Lampard, we'd scored a lot of goals from set plays. And this whole piece bigging the guy up and saying he's brilliant set play coach. Since that article, we have not scored a goal from a corner. It's about 2.5 years. And of course, I'm in the middle of the anecdote. they score, of course they do. And then just before Jackson scored, we were all sort of saying, oh, he just doesn't have a striker's instinct, does he really? And then he scores the perfect poacher's goal.
Yes. It was interesting.
Football
it was
makes a fool of you, doesn't it?
I love the way Jackson was trying to get... Raheem Sterling scored his goal and found himself, I don't know, on purpose or not, but he didn't overcook it. He was in front of the City fans. But he didn't overcook it.
No.
But Jackson came in and started pointing at him and pointing at them. You're all right, mate. He's trying to play...
Give
him a break. You know, he was making it far worse than it need be.
And the people, you know, I said on the show on Friday, I said, I don't understand Howard Webber pointing Anthony Taylor to this game. Not that he didn't have a, you know, he had a reasonable game, I think, but the point was...
Yeah, I won't read out the text you sent me when I told you about the penalty.
No, no, because the point of the matter is that, you know, everything I said would happen with him happened with him. As soon as he made a controversial decision, he had 35,000 people swearing at him. I won't say, well, I don't know if you could hear on the telly what they were saying about him, but it was pretty vile and pretty strong. And, you know, and then when they took the lead, it was Taylor, Taylor, what's the score? And you think, all of this is unnecessary. Why have you put this bloke on offer in this game?
There's so many. There's only so many top referees that Howard Webb can work with. This is the problem. Do you want a rookie in there who can't handle it?
No, but I think Tierney or Kavanagh could have done the game. It wasn't a particularly difficult game to do. I didn't think it would be. You know, both teams don't play in that way.
I think actually Paul Tierney, was it Newcastle? They've got a bit of history with him. So he was doing their game. So they weren't happy either. Maybe they should have swapped those two.
I know it's not an easy job, but I just think, you know, I wouldn't have given him the game. But there you go. So... that's it. But all in all, my wife said to me, it's slightly different this week from the last time you came back from Chelsea, which was the Brentford game.
Your mood shift based on your result.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Danny about this. It was well done to Wolves. I've always liked Gary O'Neill. He was a good man. He used to do shifts here, so we've seen a bit of him, and he's doing a brilliant job. And you can have no complaints about a team that were so on top for vast tranches of the game, coming through with a couple of goals. We'll talk to Danny shortly about that game and indeed all the games in the Premier League weekend. That's all coming up shortly. A couple of other things to get you going on. One of our team here, who's a regular Chelsea, I'll spare her blushes, regular Chelsea fan, she walked up to Andy earlier on in the office and said, I didn't go.
I know, what
a
mistake.
I didn't go. She didn't go to the game. She gave up her ticket. And we just wondered. I mean, she had a good excuse. She got family and everything. That's understandable. But sometimes...
Yeah, Dad couldn't go. She's not
being
with him.
Exactly. But, yeah. Sometimes it can be... It can be quite lame reasons why you couldn't go. You know, I missed the World Cup final because I had to go and whatever.
So says Alan Brazil.
Yes. Yeah. Missed the World Cup final because I couldn't be bothered to come out of the bar of the hotel. That's pretty... He would not argue that was a lame reason. But if you've missed a great game, maybe up there with that, or if you've, it's a game they still talk about and then they always say, oh, but John, you never went to that, did you? Because you had to go and do your mum's shopping for it. But whatever it was, reasons why you missed a great game, the game and the reason why, the lamer the better. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, and 03717223344. And Andy has forgotten his phone today. Forgot his mobile phone. He equated it to leaving the house without your trousers on.
Basically.
Well, you probably won't get arrested for not forgetting your phone.
But it's amazing how often you go to use it and on the tube.
Well, you're not going to be able to look at Danny Kelly today, are you?
I know.
You're going to miss out.
It's going to be difficult.
We can't have all your exciting backgrounds today.
I know. What can you do? And on the tube, I was sort of like reduced to sort of trying to read the bloke's phone.
Next bloke's phone? What are you doing that for?
Well, because I could see that Braverman had been sacked and Cameron was back.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah. It was, but what it does, it makes you look around more. You know, when you've got your phone, you're sort of into your phone. But when you're sitting on the train without a phone, without anything to read either, you start looking around more. And I did notice that the woman opposite me had a striking resemblance to Steve Cooper.
Oh, okay.
Forest coach.
Well, look, something good has come out of it.
Something good has come out of it.
But, the day you forgot your phone, if anything exciting happened, I mean, I think Andy's going to probably... Although, knowing Andy, something could happen on the way home. It tends to anyway.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
On to more domestic matters and a chance to look back over the Premier League weekend, game by game, with one and only Danny Kelly. Good afternoon, Danny.
Hello, chaps. I'm disappointed that Andy can't be doing his method zooming like he was doing last week,
yes,
where he put on a Caribbean Or I think it was southern Spain background, and he took off his jumper because it was so hot looking.
That's right. He did get noticeably warmer in the studio. It's obviously psychosomatic. But
disappointing.
Andy,
disappointing.
Andy's forgot his phone. He feels like he feels trouserless today.
What can you do?
This is what we've come to, eh? The kids. What are they like, the kids today? Andy Jacobs is like an arm missing without his phone.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's kick off in the obvious place. Chelsea 4, Manchester City 4. Andy sang in a man. This is the man who, you know, remembers Spartak Moscow coming to Chelsea in the 50s. So he has seen a lot of football. So up there in his top five. I mean, I know it's always a bit pointless saying, was it the greatest of all time? But it felt at the time, sitting there watching it, was a wonderful game of football and high quality as well.
Well, first of all, let me just say, off the back of Andy's various outburst this season, you can never judge Chelsea's form until they've played Spurs.
Yeah.
You can't, because Chelsea, somehow that seems to be the thing that ignites their season year after year after year. So last Monday's game, and Andy, no strikers, we've got no strikers. 8 goals in the last 2 games for Chelsea. It's all very good. First of all, this game was the centrepiece of an amazing weekend in the Premier League. Late drama, late goals, incredible wins, and 3.7 goals per game. Compare and contrast, if you like, to France, our nearest footballing neighbours, really, of the big sort of football nations. 1.25 goals per game, 12 goals in 9 games. Kylian Mbappe scored 25% of all the goals scored in France this weekend. Whereas, you know, Premier League just... The idea of a 0-0 draw these days in the Premier League seems so remote, doesn't it? It was a great game. It was a great game. And, you know, regardless of whether these top teams at the top of their form or Chelsea trying to find their form or whatever it was, the back and forth of it, because it was unexpected. You know, regardless of what they did against Spurs, Chelsea haven't been free-flowing. They were terrific. Manchester City don't tend to concede or get themselves involved in basketball games. Everything about it was fantastic. And topped off for me by Cole Palmer. Manchester City have sold, I mean, you know, they've got an amazing squad, but they've let Chelsea get, a top talent there. And I love the way he plays. Really, really good game. And I don't know where you'd start with trying to analyse. You wouldn't analyse. You just sit back, warm your hands on it.
Yeah. It's interesting, the Cole Palmer thing. I mean, Pep saying that, he said to him, look, you know, Riyad's off. You're going to get more game time. And he said, no, come on. I want to go. And he said, in that situation, I think it's a bit of a small-time mentality to make people stay that don't want to stay. What is surprising, if he kind of sells him to a rival, if you like.
But he doesn't mind. He did that with Arsenal. He made Arsenal stronger with Zinchenko and Gabriel Jesus. He just believes in his methods and his team, and, you know, he's got good reason.
They've served him pretty well. But, I mean, he's been called in the England squad today, and I thought in the flesh last week, I said to Andy, I tweeted him, to the first half, you know, he's such a good player.
He's a good player.
Very good
player.
Lovely player.
He's made a big difference. And, you know, Chelsea, there'll be bumps in the road, but you can start to see what Pochettino's trying to do and where they could get to, especially if they get a goal scorer and make a big difference. And Jackson, you know, fair play to him yesterday. That was a real poacher's finish. Reece James, though, I thought, again, Gareth Southgate, I'm a big fan of Gareth, but I don't understand why he hung him out to dry last week. He's only got 65 minutes in him. We saw that against Spurs. We saw it yesterday. But he's getting back to his best. He handled Doku, who's been in great form, brilliantly. Good assist for Sterling. He's a fantastic player. And if he gets himself back to 100% fit, he'll walk into the England team.
Yeah. That's true.
What's your problem with Southgate saying that, Andy?
I was just saying that he should have turned up for the England squad, and he's obviously not ready for that. He wants to work on his fitness and get himself right. And so he's right not to go to England. He's right to take the time off and to take the, you know, that's basically the point.
It's not like England are short of right fullbacks, is it?
No.
They've got a plethora of them. And if only Cole Palmer could play centre half. What England don't need is another highly creative forward player, isn't it? That's just cluttering up the squad. What he needs to, if he could head the ball out from the back and play long passes, he'd be much better off, wouldn't he? Great game.
It was.
I can't say it enough times, because it was a fantastic watch.
You're right. It's very difficult to analyse because both sides did fantastically well, and we learnt a lot. I think, you know,
Gallagher played well in a good game.
Yeah. I mean, we learnt a bit more about Chelsea there, that they can sustain that. Again, they're in front of another team with a low block, and
yeah, he said that after the game.
Yeah.
You know, that's, they got to solve that, and they've got to be more patient, and they need to finish their chances when they get them.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Let's be truthful about this. 10 professionally trained outfield players in a low block, every team struggles against them. Every team struggles. Even Manchester City, you know, they have to work out how to get past it. And that's why, you know, it's such a popular option with managers who feel they might be out-personnelled. It's just to go straight into a kind of tortoise shell and say, do your worst. Because every team struggles
against
Chelsea.
We'll talk about Brentford, Liverpool. We talk about when it works and when it doesn't work.
Yeah. But next game is West Ham 3, Nottingham Forest 2, a thriller at the London Stadium, to and fro-ing. James Ward-Prowse front and centre in that with two wonderful deliveries. And it was the old Thomas Souček, the weapon of the Thomas Souček header.
The practicing of it until they got the goal was, you know, you could talk about this, but to actually see it in action, that they knew that he would eventually prevail over this, the defending of Nottingham Forest, and to see the two almost goals then completed with the actual goal, it's more like a film than a football match, that, wasn't it? It was just great.
The Ward-Prowse, with Andy and I were chatting about it a little bit earlier on. Again, you know, there maybe was an opportunity to bring him into the squad. I mean, we've seen other players come into the squad, the England squad, today off the back of a good weekend's football. You know, I don't say Gareth's got a blind spot with him, but I don't think, you know, he doesn't seem that taken with with his charms. I mean, and he has to be in better form
than underprepared Henderson playing in Saudi.
Nothing could be more true than that. That's absolutely right. I mean, I'm on again at 7 actually with Danny and Darren, and we'll discuss the Ward-Prowse situation more at length. I guess the problem is, if you're the England manager, to get the wonderful skills with particularly dead balls into the team, you have to play him. Then you're kind of, what does he do that Rice doesn't do? He could do what Henderson does. Oh, no, of course.
More to him than set plays, definitely.
Sure, but you could name Henderson and probably name 5 players who are currently likely to do better. And Conor Gallagher would be another example. He has the blind spot. Is not probably about James Ward-Prowse. It's about Henderson right now, isn't it? That most people, sensible people, would say probably that's a brilliant career, needs to be wound down for England, and yet he wants to continue with it, you know.
First winning 4 for West Ham, and David Moyes was getting a bit of stick, and I think the point was being made today that they always seem to be like one couple of defeats from a crisis. I know that it frustrates West Ham fans, or old mate Tom Rennie, we often see him tweeting about it, that he doesn't kind of let them off the leash quite enough. He's a very defensively minded coach, and I know that is a frustration for a lot of West Ham fans.
As I said last week, he's got a squad that's slightly out kilter with his own record and how he likes to do things, because you would argue that the power of this team is all up front, in and around the attacking midfield players, the wingers. It's quite a good idea occasionally to play Bowen right up front. He brings them something different. David Moyes, like all very successful people, they sometimes find it hard to change their pattern, the thing that has made them successful. He's a smart guy. And he will make that balance, I think, between what it is that he has available to him and what his natural instincts are. And a few more wins like that will perhaps convince him to let Lucas Paquetar do what the hell he wants, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's the one I see him staring at on the pitch when Lucas goes off on some run into an odd place, you know.
I think there was 1-8 for Forest. I mean, they're down in 15th. You look around that squad and you think they're going to have more than enough, looking at the form
and their home form
ability of some of the other teams. But I think, you know, a little bit of a concern, I would think, for Forest fans.
You could call it the Fulham syndrome. But they are in a season where at the moment it looks like there are going to be teams getting mid-20s of points.
Yeah.
So that they can take some comfort from that. Not much comfort for their fans, of course. Watch them lose again and again and again.
No, they'll be all right.
Right. 1, Sheffield United 1. And Roberto Di Zerbi at the end of it railing against the referee. It was a mad game. It was all Brighton for most of it. I mean, I'd mark Albright.
Not Mark Albright.
I saw quite a lot of the sort of highlights, and they were just all over. But then the red card comes. It was kind of slightly shifting at that point, and they find a way back in, Sheffield United. But De Zerbi says he can't stand 80% of the referees in England.
Who are the 20% you're keen on?
Yeah, that's right.
And are they going to give him 80% of a one match ban? Will he be allowed on the touchline for the last 20 minutes, you know?
He's going to cop a fine for that comment, definitely.
He certainly is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's interesting that after Arteta's, you know, really going in studs up on the standard of refereeing, that he now feels he is free to say what he needs to say about it. I mean, oddly enough, it was a weekend, and somebody can tell me if I've missed several, where VAR wasn't the centre of attention too much in the Premier League. Thank goodness and thank God. But De Zerbi, yeah, that was one of my favourite outbursts for a long time. The very precise figure, 80% of them, I cannot stand. And of course, Sheffield United, you're right, Paul. The Premier League is still such a standard that dominating the game, chances-wise, possession-wise, unless you get the second goal, the infamous and much-desired second goal, there's always a chance people will hit you back. And and the red card, you know, it did change momentum.
Yeah. They could have nicked it at the end. They've unearthed another gem, though, in Adingra. He looks for another player.
Yeah, another good player. But again, Sheffield United could have nicked it. There was that one that was just sort of scuffed around the corner by Bogle right at the end, which could have been a big 3 points. But they are
off
the bottom.
I wonder whether that would have increased the number of referees that he can't stand.
I think it quite possibly could have gone up to a massive 85%. There was a stat around Brighton very quickly. So is that no wins in six for
something
Brighton?
Like that? Yeah.
which is odd. Blimey, well, that music's loud. We clearly got to go to a break.
You've got to be careful, don't you? You know, the historic first European win in Amsterdam shouldn't hide the fact that they're not quite in the rhythm that they were last season.
And another injury, a lot of injuries. Evan Ferguson, another one added to that list, which is not helping. Anyway, Liverpool 3, Brentford 0, coming up very shortly with Danny Kelly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're looking back on the Premier League weekend. Danny Kelly's with us, and we've reached Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. And you had a bit of a hot take on this, didn't you, really, from a Brentford point of view? You see a fair bit of them.
Look, I think Brentford's tactics, joking aside, the other day when I was so upset, I was only upset about Chelsea. It's effective what they do, but the problem with that is it relies on two things. It relies on VAR disallowing goals, it relies on opponents missing chances, and then you've got to take the one chance you got, and Mbeumo had a chance and he didn't take it. And once Liverpool scored, then it makes it really, really difficult. I don't blame Brentford for doing that, and they were brilliant at home against West Ham, and it's worked. They beat City, they beat Chelsea. You know, they're going to carry on doing it, but that is the problem with it. If the other team takes their chances, then you are going to be
in
trouble.
You've got someone like Mo Salah, as Thomas Frank said, that's always kind of likely to happen.
I mean, I can see what other games are going to do in this section. In a weekend of Premier League high drama, there were also a whole group of matches you could call predictable home wins, and this was as predictable as they come, really. Andy is right. Brentford will continue to do what they do, and he's also right to say that it relies on VAR getting you out of trouble every now and then. But of course, as I've often said, if you sit deep enough, VAR is likely to turn against you as well, because every tackle you make, every jostle that you get involved with, is liable to end up with somebody putting a stud on somebody's ankle and getting the penalty. I guess you could argue, Andy, you see more of Brentford than I do. This is the game where they do miss Ivan Toney, where that absolute cutting edge that he was giving them last season in, you know, while it's still 0-0 and getting, as you say, the critical first goal, he's not there now. And Bournemouth's having a great season, but he's not Ivan Toney from that point of view.
No, absolutely. And I do think, though, going back to something Jurgen Klopp said after the game, he's absolutely 100% right about the next match against City. What are the Premier League doing scheduling that game after an international break? You can't blame the TV company.
12:30 on a Saturday.
It's the biggest game of the weekend.
It's our game, so we're delighted.
Yeah, no,
obviously.
You can't blame the broadcasters. You've got to blame the Premier League fixture committee and the fixture computer for scheduling what is the biggest game of the season in all reality after an international break. Why? Just have it the next week. Why have it that week? 12:30 compounds it. You know, you've got all these players coming back from... I know it's the same for both sides, but it just devalues and weakens the whole fixture. What is the point of it?
I mean, you're right. Some of the players like Diaz, he will have flown the width of the earth.
Yeah.
To come back and play again, you know, lunchtime Saturday. It doesn't make any sense, does it, at all?
Yeah, there's those in Edison.
Another talking point from the game was the Thomas Frank feeling that Endo really should have got a red. I mean, looking at it, it's two players sliding in with feet up. Endo makes
that
the contact.
It's not a red card.
There's
no intent in it. There was no damage done. I mean, damage done is not relevant, really. But If that becomes a red card, we're taking another tiny baby step down the road of non-contact whatsoever. Mm. No tackling, no scrambling for the ball. I'm sorry. You see the way Monday night, Udogie's tackle lifted the Chelsea crowd and the Chelsea players at Tottenham. Tackling is part of the game.
Mm.
And contact is part of the game. And if you take it out completely, I don't know what you'd be watching, really. You'd end up watching a kind of futsal. I'm not sure I want to pay 90 quid a week to watch futsal, I'll be honest.
Aston Villa 3, Fulham 1. I think this file this under predictable home wins.
Yeah,
especially,
home wins,
especially the way Villa are playing.
God, their home record is sensational.
At the moment, yeah.
40 years since that. 40 of your English years since they were champions of Europe, since they last had a run like this at home. And when you see the goal scorers, you know, McGinn, Watkins, it's almost, you know, Groundhog Day, isn't it? You put up whoever you're going to put up. They go to Villa Park, McGinn scores, Watkins scores, and they go away with nothing. But you have to give them absolute credit for that, because a year ago, a little more, they were no kind of football team, Aston Villa, and now they really are.
No, Unai Emery's done a brilliant job, no question.
And some good news for Fulham. Raul Jimenez scored.
That
might
good,
start to get his mojo back a little bit.
You do slightly worry for Fulham, you know.
You think there's not three worse teams than Fulham?
Oh no, there are absolutely.
There are. They're another one who are relying on the terrible trio at the moment to give them some comfort. The trouble with Raul, you say he's got his mojo back. I sometimes wonder with footballers whether the mojo is not displaced, but they've actually lost it completely.
Yeah.
And you know, no amount of sticking up posters on local lamppost to say mojo were wanted, 25 quid reward. And Raul, you know, we all know what's the back of this. A horrible, horrible
Absolutely.
Injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a bloke, as a human being, you could only wish him the best of luck of finding the previously misplaced mojo.
Esri Cons has got a call up for England. So our old mate Rupert Bell, Sam, what has he got to do? And then an hour later, he got called up. So
that,
shows
you when you're the royal correspondent of TalkSport, you still carry clout. Don't worry about that.
He probably called Gareth and said, "Right, put him in the squad. Otherwise, we'll get you in the tower."
Well, you know, it's the Aston Villa connection, and Rupert rings up Gareth. Gaz, mate.
Yes.
About time. But it is about time because some of the people who've been in and around that position for England. Whether Esri can make that leap, I mean, it's one thing with Manchester City's players who are already playing in a better team than England. You know, you don't try, you don't know. A very deserved call-up. I'm trying to think who would be the next cab off the rank. Which club now, Villa fans can stop saying, why can't Esri Konta play for England? Which centre-half has now not been called up? It'll be Max Kilman next week.
Yeah, probably
at Wolves,
be. So, on to the game between Crystal Palace 2, Everton 3.
Another good game.
Great five-goal thriller. Bizarre moment. James Tarkowski saying that there was a little moment where he left it for Jordan Pickford to do a bit of clearing up, which could have been very damaging, where he seemed to leave the ball for his keeper. He's fairly certain he heard someone shout, "Keepers." And he thinks it may have been someone in the Holmesdale Inn with a loud speaker, he said. Although if that bloke has started shouting "keepers," that is, I mean, maybe everybody's going to be trying it now if it puts defenders off. But yeah, he said that's why he thought he heard a call from Jordan Henderson. So that's why he didn't go for the ball.
Did he use the word loudspeaker?
He did use the word loudspeaker.
Not tannoy. There's a bloke on the tannoy shouting "keepers."
No, I think it's a fan with, I don't know what he's got. Maybe somebody who stands there can let us know.
I mean, everyone's tried it on Hackney Marshes at the amateur level. You always shout at corners, keepers, in order to confuse the guy. Yeah. But you don't expect it to happen in a ground holding, what's Palace hold, 25,000 people. Because and James can say what he likes. Is he really hearing individual voices from the crowd? Although Kieran Trippier did, as we'll talk about later on. No doubt.
Actually used the word megaphone, I should point out before.
I want to get the technicalities right here.
Let's get it absolutely correct.
And megaphone seems much more likely.
Yes.
Overall, Everton, we don't have to be right about everything, but the amount of times we said, well, Sean Dyche, you know, he knows what he's doing. They will be okay. And there they are. They are okay. And of course, the return of their centre forward has been such a huge part of that. Because they have A, focus in the team, and B, a way of converting all the hard work they do into something more, you know, tangible, goals, chances, corners, whatever.
Yeah.
Jack Harrison's a good signing. That was a clever signing.
That's been good business.
But he's done a great job. Meanwhile, reporting on his hairline, Dyche Island, it's only a small tributary at the moment.
Is it really Dyche Island? You're keeping an eye on Dyche Island. That's good.
I passed Fish Island the other day when I was in London and thought about you two back in the Olympics in 2012.
Oh, yes.
Quite near the Olympic Games. Broadcasting live from quite near the Olympic Games.
From a boat. From a boat opposite. From a boat opposite.
TalkSport
at
its finest. How dare you?
That's it. Yeah, the old
days. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I saw that kind of muddy creek with that little island, and I thought, oh yes, that's the, like those Japanese soldiers refused to surrender, that's where Paul and Andy in that little jungle there, that's where they spent the Olympics in 2012.
Nice smoked salmon, when that was good.
Yeah, although somebody gave us a big platter from Fish Island of smoked salmon. We left it on the boat and returned to find rats gnawing at it the following day, so maybe we should have thrown that away. Anyway, happy memories. Palace, Elise came on. Eze's back and looked dangerous and could have had a second penalty. I mean, Roy was saying he's an honest lad and he ended up getting a yellow card, and even though it looked like there was some contact. But
I did like the exchange at the end of that game between Gary Lineker and Jermaine Jenas when he said to him, do you want my job?
Yeah.
And Jermaine said, I'm OK for now. And then Gary went later. And you think, you know what? That's probably what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine that is the case at some point.
That was broadcasting in jokes for us all, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. So we move on to Arsenal 3, Burnley 1. Let's squeeze that in this section. Arsenal 3, Burnley 1. Very upbeat. VAR happy, I suppose, what happens when you win 3-1. Mikel Arteta was happy with the referees, smiling away, doing gags were marvellous. But it was a comfortable bit of naivety really from Burnley. I mean, as was pointed out on Match of the Day, they did a real number on them from set pieces, didn't they?
Do you know what, Paul, I had with my Arsenal connections, I had, I'm not going to say dozens, but a trio of Arsenal veterans, and they were all there saying they almost needed Burnley to score, that the atmosphere in the ground was very, very flat. And I think after their brilliant run last season, I think there's a kind of expectations that these games are going to come reasonably handy to Arsenal. And, you know, these are seasoned football watchers. They're not kind of fanatics or anything, but they said that the crowd didn't really get into it until Burnley equalised. And then a certain sense of urgency, which was then transmitted onto the pitch, allowed Arsenal to play. You know, they should be beating Burnley at home. I mean, that's obvious, isn't it?
But when a team's not doing well, often if it can be our team not doing well, your team not doing well, and suddenly you get an equaliser against a team that are better than you, and you think, oh, we've just annoyed them now.
Yeah,
we would have annoyed them, and maybe that's what they did, basically, just annoyed
they
them.
They poked the bear, didn't
to get,
they?
To get them going again.
Arsenal missing Partey, Odegaard and Jesus, and it was good that it was Burnley from that point of view. Havertz just got no confidence. He spurned the chance to shoot. You can always tell when that happens.
Andy, you watched him play for 2 years. What's his best position?
When he's up for it is his best position, when he's actually into it. I mean, he can be so good. He's no question about that he's got skills, but, you know, he's not doing
it.
He's
always on the periphery of games.
Trossard's been a good sign. That was so brave of him. That was great. And I thought the shot on the run by Martinelli that led to the corner for the second goal was brilliant as well. There were some good signs.
He's a really fine player, Martinelli, isn't he? You know, you'd think the days of people relying on out-and-out skill might be gone in the very physical football we see these days. Lovely football.
And we often say that, you know, that game at Burnley at the Emirates will not define Burnley's season. The problem is they are actually losing the games that will define their season, Danny,
well,
at the same time.
Well, you used the word naive. And I think that, you know, Paul, I'm not having a go at you, but it's one of those words that covers up a whole lot of things. They're just not learning the lessons. Even Sheffield United looked to me to be slightly improving week by week, as you would expect from playing the Premier League. Burnley, they're on the same plateau the whole time, and most of the time that won't be good enough for them.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Three more games to squeeze in, kicking off with Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 0. And I noticed the Newcastle fan that had a few words with Kieran Trippier has apologised, saying, I've travelled a long way, I got a bit wrapped up in it, I'm sorry to the boys. And I mean, look, it takes a big man to say they're sorry.
So I think that's right.
Well done to him and Kieran Trippier. I mean, I think if I was a fan of Newcastle, I'd think, well, fair play to the skipper standing up for his players. I don't think, you know.
And you can hear what he's saying. He's absolutely right. He said, we've got so many injuries, and you can't deny that.
Don't you think we did our best out there? Look, it's, you know, it's not a major thing, but I mean, they are off it. They've got a lot of injuries. They're playing a lot more games than they've ever played before. And Bournemouth took advantage of it quite rightly with a good performance.
Yeah. First and foremost, you can only beat what's put in front of you, and Bournemouth were the better team. Newcastle fan, I mean, it'd be wrong to suggest it's all Newcastle fans. He's passed through the expectation veil, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Where you go, I mean, everybody does it. You have a team that does okay or does very well. Newcastle had a very good season last year. And suddenly, everybody, we can't help but human beings, everyone's expectation changes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He would, you know, a 2-0 loss at Bournemouth 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and he would have been saying, oh, blinking hell, another long journey back to the northeast. Now the expectations have been raised, and I was interested. I don't know why Trippier chose to get involved, because you know, sometimes you think, how can the player win here? You're just going to have somebody shouting at you, and if you make any kind of physical or even loud verbal contact with him, you're going to look bad. But in the end, it's all worked out very, very well. The guy, this is the new thing, isn't it? The Pogmole apologises. Teams who get beat by 3 away from home, they apologise to the fans. Now the fans are apologising to the players. Everybody's so sorry for everything, aren't they?
Yeah.
A listener contacted me because he heard me talking about Dominic Solanke last week, singing his praises, and he put him in his fantasy team, I think.
Good.
Yeah, I've said he's the second prize in the Ivan Toney auction. He's definitely going to... I'd be amazed if he's at Bournemouth next year. He's a much better player than he was when he was at Liverpool, and he'd suit a lot of teams, I think, including all our teams and Arsenal.
Lot to squeeze in, so we'll crack on if we must to Wolverhampton Wanderers 2, Tottenham Hotspur 1. Just a quick one on the Tottenham front. I, as soon as I saw the team and I saw the midfield of Højbjerg, Sarr and Bissouma, I thought, hang on, this doesn't sound like Ange Ball. My immediate thought was, where's Lo Celso? Why aren't we going like for like? I mean, I was slightly fearful when I saw that team that it was going to be a bit more of a passive performance, really.
Well, Paul, I went further. I looked to take the goalkeeper out of it. I looked at the back seven in that team, or the midfield seven. The back, that's not going to win very many Premier League games, particularly not away from home. And so it turned out. If the goals had been scored in the 50th and 70th minute for Wolves, you would have just said, because it's a gut punch because they come so late. Mm. But Spurs have been the beneficiaries of that earlier in the season. Let's not make a mistake.
Sure.
Wolves were, without looking like, you know, Bayern Munich, Wolves were the better team for 85 minutes of the game. Mm. You know, Spurs got that early goal and gave them something to hang on to. But Wolves were the better team. If the goals had come at more traditional times, although, of course, late goals are now becoming more and more traditional since we got more and more forward substitutes coming on late in the games, We'd have had nothing to say about it, Paul. The Spurs were just inert, and Wolves were slightly more dynamic and more direct. And also, you know, coaches are paid. You know, coaches are paid to see things. Spurs' fullbacks play so narrow that long diagonal ball out to eight Nouri on one side and Semedo on the other side. They were killing Spurs. They were stretching them left and right again and again and again. But Wolves, one of those, you know, that they're in that mid-table pack of teams that are perfectly good football teams. They'll have good days and bad days. I thought they were very, you know, up for it and dynamic. And I wasn't surprised when they got
there. They're so profligate, though. They missed so many chances.
Yeah, sure. They did.
You know, that is their thing. They're a decent team. But Spurs had two good chances at 1-0. They could have, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there was two chances. The
Johnson
one that
Johnson and Lo Celso.
And Lo Celso. They were the other two options. But, I mean, Wolves got in and around us quite a lot.
But the equaliser was the thing of beauty. Yeah. That was an absolute
that beautiful
goal. First game, Paul, where you could say Spurs really missed Harry Kane. Because he would have got a second goal there.
Yeah.
And if not put the thing to bed, made it really tricky afternoon for Wolves, but he didn't.
And would have occupied the Wolves defence, which Son didn't on the day.
There's
definitely
a peculiarity about the Premier League table. I'm sure mathematicians could explain why this happens, but teams can go like Brighton, six games without a win, or West Ham, haven't won since October the 1st, whatever, and they don't really move in the table. And I think, you know, it takes quite a lot to drop once you're up there. Spurs have got a sort of 5-point cushion.
I sincerely hope you're right until Christmas.
Yeah, they need to hang in there till Christmas.
Well, the next four fixtures will tell us plenty. Yeah. Newcastle, West Ham, City and Villa.
We've got to squeeze in.
Romero,
Manchester United 1, Luton Town 0. Not a lot to say. And what Andy said last week, Manchester United, they don't have to play particularly well, but they always find a way, and they found a way again, didn't they?
Form team, 4 wins out of 5. Yes. Ten Hag manager of the month and all that.
It's mad, isn't it? They're playing so poorly and there's nothing really about them, but they've just got this determination and they have got good players. They'll find a goal somehow.
They both had the same shots on target in the game, Manchester United and Luton. Luton gave it a go, as they often do.
Yeah, and you're right to say, Andy, the proof of the pudding is if Victor Lindelof is getting your winner, then things are going well for you, you know, in terms of karma and all the rest of it. The science of it is obvious. They're just not a very, very fluent, connected team, but they've got players and the crowd keeps pushing them on a bit. And I don't know what to make of them, really, because how far can that take you, that kind of stumbling determination?
Yeah. 7 wins and 5 defeats. As long as you don't draw in the Premier League, you'll be all
of
right.
Of course,
generally.
Yeah.
But you can see the confidence isn't there. Rashford should have hit it first time. Garnacho should have hit it first time. Mm. That's what you get if you're not confident.
Danny, we'll hear from you later and we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks very much.
Bless you all. Cheers. Bye.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, this is one of the great Premier League games yesterday and one of our team here. She couldn't go for various reasons. She couldn't go to the game and she's been gutted. She's missed it. Some of these great games that still bothering you, and you had far lamer reasons for not going there than she did. Norwich 5, Ipswich 1, 2011, says John the Norwich fan. 16 years old at the time, convinced me and my high school girlfriend would be together forever. I needed to be part of her family events, so I went to her auntie's wedding in Bury St Edmunds
what
instead.
What a really bad idea.
That now seems like such a bad call, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's a brilliant one.
Jim says, back in the non-league days, I was going to see Luton v Hazen Yedding. I parked my car, walked to the ground and realised I'd lost my car keys. So I backtracked to the car to look for them. By the time I'd found them and got back to the Kenny, in the 28th minute, we were 5-0 up. The rest felt quite pointless, says Jim. So, yes.
That's good.
Nice one from a taxi driver here. Where's it gone? Yeah, decided in my wisdom to do an extra couple of hours in the cab to earn a few quid whilst the World Cup final was on. Argentina 3, France 3, and all that followed. Missed the whole lot, including extra time. London was dead as a dodo, barely took any money because everyone, funny enough, was watching the World Cup final.
Best international game of all time.
Still haven't seen the goals or the highlights to this day, says Dan the cabbie. Can't bring himself to watch it back
that's
because he missed it live.
Don't know if you saw this, but Donald Trump, he wants to appoint UFC boss Dana White as his defence chief.
Wow.
It'll be a great sight watching Dana wrestle his counterpart to the canvas and pummel him continually in the head.
Yeah, well, that would be an interesting booking, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would definitely be quite an interesting appointment. Tranmere, their scorer at the weekend was a player called Rod Apter, A-P Raptor. No, I was maybe Raptor. I was thinking he'd be known as Ad in the dressing room, wouldn't he?
Ad Apter. All yeah. right, Ad.
All right, yes.
I've got one of those. The lion that escaped from a circus in Italy.
Yeah, well, the pictures of that walking past people's cars. Yeah,
you'd have a bit of a shock if you saw
just
that.
Sitting at the lights and you'd look to your left and there was a lion. Wow.
As Ali said this morning, it was a big, it was a proper lion.
That's a proper lion. Yeah, it wasn't exactly.
He was called Kimber, known in the dressing room as Steve.
Steve, there's one for the old Chelsea and Palace fans there of a certain age. Steve.
Ridiculous.
Have a lion called Steve.
And I'm fascinated, you know, I'm always fascinated by adverts for products, readers' trousers, etc.
Readers' trousers, yeah, yeah.
There's an advert for a woman's scarf shawl. It's like a cardigan you wear around yourself. And it says, one size fits all. And I was thinking, what? Even if you're Sandy Toksvig or Hannah Waddingham, it can't be one size fits all.
Well, I suppose one's a little covering on your shoulders. The other one is a sort of coat. You could go to Glastonbury and stay in it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Anyway, on to a goal that's gone viral today. If you haven't seen it yet, if you get onto social media, you almost certainly will during the rest of the day. It's Chels Rovers FC. It was scored by Charlie Unwin, and it's a kind of donkey kick back heel.
There's a sort of Giroud quality about it.
It has, but it's a bit further out. It's coming to him from a different angle. I don't know how to describe it. Let the man who scored it describe it. Charlie Unwin. Good afternoon, Charlie.
How you doing, boys? You right?
We are pretty good. And the great thing was, it was the winner in a 5-4 win, so it's even better.
I couldn't. But first off, I've got to shout out Paul Mitchell. He comes to the games, rain, wind, snow, and comes and films the game for us, so we get little highlights so we can keep forever.
Mm.
And honestly, if he didn't get it on record, no one would believe me that goal went in. You know what I mean?
No. Can you believe the old traction it's got today? I mean, there's loads and loads of people watching it. I'm sure you'll go global. You'll probably end up doing something Italian telly later this week. It's one of those sorts of goals that people will just pass on and retweet and stuff.
Yeah, honestly, it's funny. I was in the curry house the night before having a curry. I woke up, scored the goal, and then I woke up this morning and my phone has just been non-stop. Literally. From having to take a masala to being a viral sensation.
You're going to go and have to do that.
Preparation for the game.
You're going to go and do that before every game now. You're going to go and have the tikka masala.
Yeah. I'm thinking of retiring after that.
Yeah, that's true.
What level are we talking here? What level are you playing at?
It's actually just Sunday League football.
Yeah.
Me and my mates, Jake Healy, the manager, he put up a little squad with all of our friends and that. I was on it for months to join and he weren't having it, but he finally caved in and I bet he's happy he signed me now.
So did you just sort of chuck a leg at it? I mean, is it just the ball's it's going past you and you're thinking, well, I've got to try and get some sort of connection? Or is that something you've practised in training, Charlie?
I'll be honest with you, I've never practised that in my life. I just sort of dealt with it how it came to me.
Yeah.
I could see the defender, he's coming in to clatter me, really, in the box, but I sort of just shielded him off and just swung my leg round, watched the ball and aimed for the top corner and it went there. So,
well, every
the crowd
year
must have gone mad. Was there a crowd?
Oh, there was a small crowd, I guess.
Yeah. To be fair, it's quite good at our Sunday League games. We always gather a big crowd in. Everyone always comes and supports, but obviously, you could hear the noise from the ringing around the park.
And, of course, every year FIFA have the Puskas Award, which they give out to the best goal of the season. And we've seen goals from sort of lower. I mean, I don't think Sunday mornings have made it, but this has got to be in contention. You could be sort of on stage getting your award from Mbappe.
I'll tell you what, that would just make my whole life.
It's brilliant.
Who's your team? Who do you support, Charlie?
I'm a gooner. I follow obviously, my dad's team, he's Arsenal. He's the one who gave me the left foot that I've got.
Right. So the Giroud comparison's your take, won't you, obviously?
Yeah, that's what everyone's been commenting Giroud and this and that. But I feel like Giroud's one was a bit lucky. He sort of just flung his leg at it. My one.
This is a better goal. You are actually better than Olivier Giroud, so that's definitely...
Yeah. I thought that, to be fair.
Well, Charlie, good to talk to you. Let's hope the FIFA do get in touch for the Puskas Award. Well done. All the best.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Take care.
Last time. Thanks, boys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's Clips of the Week pewter time. You know the story by now. Some old mini discs lying in the corner. What are they? Someone said. Oh, look, they're old Clips of the Week. They've not been touched for years. So the producer, the only man in Britain with a mini disc player that still works, has been digitising them for us. And every week he's in charge. He dusts them down and he said to him, we found an old long lost clip today that we thought had gone forever. And it's one of my favourites. I hope it lives up to. I've not heard it for 20 odd years, but I've always loved it. So let's find out, shall we? We kick off with Alan Brazil and Mike Parry running through the postponements in the world of football.
Now, we continue. Falkirk versus Clyde, off. Inverness, Cali versus Arbroath, off. St Mirren, Queen of the South, off. Second division, Airdrie versus Cowdenbeath, off. Third division, Albion versus East Fife. Mr Parry's Welsh Premier, Aberystwyth versus Rhyl, off. Athenleido TNS, off. Barrytown versus Flexies, off. How do you pronounce these? Cairswhistle or something versus Bangor City, off. Carmarthen versus Quinbran, off. Connachie versus Newton, off. And Clanechley versus Carnarvon, off. Welshpool versus Haverford West, off.
I remember that clip so well. The whole point of that is, why don't I just read the list of the games and say...
All these games are off,
rather than just saying off after off. Everyone.
I quite liked him saying off. They were very good, and apologies to everybody in Wales. What's next, Andy?
It's Alan Brazil now taking a call.
Good morning. I reckon you're involved with Sky, Alan, is that correct?
No, I used to be. I had 5 years there, loved it, but not anymore.
Okay, well, I was just going to ask, do you know when the renewal for the Premiership contract comes up?
Yeah.
Well, I was just wondering if you know. I don't know.
Sorry.
Yeah, but okay. I'm not telling you.
I'm keeping it to myself. That's right. Also, working there as a presenter and being in charge of organising the rights, they're two different jobs. One man doesn't do all of that, mate. They've got more than one man working there. And staying with the course, here's Mike Parry.
Without further ado, let's go to the lines. Let's go straight up north of the border and talk to Mark in Dunfermline. Good morning, Mark. Hey, Mark, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine, thanks.
Sorry, I thought you'd swallowed your beer the wrong way then.
Unlikely on a breakfast show, you'd think.
Although, Alan?
It's, exactly. He's judging it by the co... co-presenter.
That's how you get there.
What's next?
It's a longer version of a clip we always play every Christmas. It's Tony Cascarino, who was dispatched to do some translating for an interview with Arsenal's Robert Pires. And this version actually includes what happened afterwards.
Ooh. Ah, here we go.
What is it about the Arsenal that makes you feel at home?
Yes, I like it, England, I like it, London. And for me, Arsenal, I think, is the best club in this country.
Yes, I like Arsenal very much. I love living in London, and I feel that Arsenal is the best club in the country.
That's easy to translate.
Yeah, that was easy.
You just said it in English.
Oh yeah, what did I do? Oh dear, what did I do that for? I don't know why I did that. Anyway, never mind.
Well, we're glad you did.
We're glad you
we
did,
never
Tony.
Had that
20 years
clip.
we've run
it's
out
It's better
of
when
that.
We cut it shorter, to be honest, even though it's more unfair.
Good old Cassie. And he suddenly, it's easy done though, isn't it? You're there as translator and you're just in the moment.
Yeah,
of course.
Great
back to Mr. Parry and Mr. Brazil once again.
Now, coming up around 10 past 8 and 20 past 8, we'll be giving out some of your Valentine messages. I know you've all been bidding on the eBay website.
eBay de Villiers.
eBay de Villiers, yeah, that's A-B-B. What's next?
Keith Arthur now on Fisherman's Blues.
Well, what a fantastic programme we've had this morning. Kicked off with Nigel Botherway's £250 bronze whaler shark from Namibia.
Shame I missed it. He would have had some interesting stuff to say. Well, Nigel's an old friend of mine. It's the fourth time he's caught me. I'm quite a big fish, but he's catch and release, and that's why I love Nigel.
I love the fact he's an old British actor.
Yeah, he just threw me back in, which is the mark of the man, of course. Here's Mike Parry with some overseas football news.
I tell you, Al, there was a great result last night. China and Brazil nil all in Guangzhou. It's a province of China. It's up near the fated city of Guangzhou.
He's making them up.
He's just making noises, Mike.
He's so made up. There is no place like that in China.
Dear me.
It's brilliant.
What's next, Andy?
It's the news with Kat Wright.
It's 2 o'clock. I'm Kat Wright. I just want to go home.
Well, we've all been there, haven't we? We've had a long day at work.
Just one more bulletin, that's it.
That's always a danger. But that's the thing, when you do news bulletins, our old friend Robin Chernhofer came on one day. Yeah, that's right. Hello, I'm Robin Chernhofer, a quite terrible woman. Don't be so hard on yourself, Robin. It's always the danger of starting it with a quote. Mike Parry now, making a point.
If you walked up and down the M1 for the next 10 years, you'd be very unlikely to bump into anybody who's won an England cap.
Isn't there other ways of finding out? Just get yourself a Rossmann's. I mean, what do they call it these days? The Sky Football Yearbook.
What about this Gary Lineker walking up the M1?
Yeah, just looking for somebody. You keep walking up and down the M1, see how you get on.
Here's Graham Beecroft now with a guest.
Dave, just before we go on and talk about Sheffield United Walsall, because you played for both yesterday.
Did he? How did that work? Transfer at half time?
Football's changed a lot, isn't it, really? They don't mind doing things like that. Mr. Parry again, talking nature.
Oh, no. You wait till you see a giraffe loping alongside your truck, you know, in the flesh. It's incredible. You wait till you see a hippopotamus wallowing in a river. You wait till you see that other big thing with the horn.
Thank you very much, Mr. Attenborough. Fantastic. Think of the word rhinoceros. So this next clip, we said, we thought we'd lost forever. It's Alan Brazil and Mike Parry, and they're talking about the films of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And what I've always loved about it is that as Alan tries to sing the theme tune to one of Clint's famous movies, he strays and starts to basically sing a kid's nursery rhyme. Anyway, see what you make of this.
Like you, I looked great when I was 30. I looked 18 in those days.
27 years ago. Just look at their website, talksport.net. Clyde the orangutan. Remember that song?
Every which way but loose. Any which way but loose. Any which way but loose. On a Saturday night. Yeah. That's not the theme tune to Any Which Way But Loose.
No, it definitely isn't.
It basically turned it into a sort of Hogmanay song. Beautiful. And finally, Andy.
And finally, it's Graham Beecroft taking a call.
Dave is on from Lancashire. Hello, Dave. Your verdict on the game.
Hi, Beaky.
Hiya.
You remember me? We got back a while, actually. I used to be based in Liverpool.
All right.
I'm just a bit concerned about TalkSport's coverage of today.
Right.
We seem to have a tremendous Liverpool bias with yourself from Liverpool, Mike Parry, Rob McCaffrey, Mickey Quinn. I mean, I think you should really spread this amount a bit and put a few Mancunian presenters on.
Do you? Okay, well, I'll make a note. I'll make a memo then for anybody, Dave, to put more Mancunian presenters on. How's that? Okay. Oh. We'd like to be particularly neutral. What about your verdict on the game, Dave, apart from that? Hello, Dave.
I think you're a disgrace.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Dave. Thank you very much indeed. Dave there from Lancashire, rounding us off very nicely indeed.
Oh, very nicely.
Yeah. Thank you. You're a disgrace, Beaky. Well, thank you, Dave.
Started off like, so
take £100
right.
Worth of Wix vouchers. Beautiful.
Deteriorated, but there you go.
There we are.
They were very good.
They weren't bad. March 2003, a golden year, clearly, a golden period. We'll try and dust off a few more for you next week. Clips of the Week return on Friday, as always. You can go and listen to the Clips of the
Unless
Week podcast.
Off.
Unless it's off. Yeah, Clips of the Week off. If you want to go and listen to those again, they're available as a podcast. We've got the Talk Sports Extra podcast. If you're an Apple subscriber, you can go along there and listen for free. Try for a month. Two extra podcasts we do. One, a kind of a deep dive into an aspect of the Clips of the Week, which is a bit of a director's cut, as we always say. And the other one, sort of all the madcap stuff Andy never gets around to on the show, that we have a little bit more time to luxuriate around. It's got a slightly different vibe
to it.
It's
Any Which Way But Loose, but it's all right.
It is very Any Which Way But Loose. So if you'd like, go and check those out for free. And if you like them, it's $2.99 a month and you'll get two extra podcasts for that. So go and check it out wherever you get your podcasts if you are with Apple.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, there we are. That's how it all unfolded this afternoon. I'm back tomorrow with Charlie Baker. I believe Des Lynam is one of our guests.
Beautiful.
The great Des Lynam will be joining us. Andy, you're back on Wednesday.
I am, yeah.
Brilliant. So we will catch up with you then. Thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.